everyone, and welcome to Monster Mania Radio, the podcast that delivers up-to-the-minute information about Monster Mania Con, plus a little extra. My name is Rob Dimension.
I want to know what the little extra is.
And I'm sitting here with the man, the myth, the creator of Monster Mania.
With Dave Hagen. Little extra, Dave Hagen. A little extra what? I don't know.
Speaking of little extra,
let's not talk about that.
Monster Mania Con 23 is September 28th through the 30th in Hunt Valley, Maryland.
Got that right.
And you added...
I added two new guests. Stars from The Walking Dead, which I wanted to bring in someone that hadn't done one of our Walking Dead reunions before. And not just, you know, one of the, I call them the 3-minute zombies that are, you know, that are in the series. We added Emily Kinney, who plays the role of
Beth
yep. in The Walking Dead. Yep. She's the farmer's daughter. That could lead to a whole lot of jokes, but we won't go there. And we're bringing down to Maryland for the first time Stephen Ewing, super, super nice guy, probably of the cast. Between him and Lauren Holden are my two favorites that I've met so far. Both are like super nice people. Steven's excellent with the kids and everything. Mm-hmm. Person I had known had written on Facebook how great he was with their kids and everything. Super nice guy. Really glad to be bringing him down to Maryland. Unfortunately, we've had one person that dropped off. Just got the email today saying that Dina Meyer has a film role and is not able to attend the show. Disappointed with that. Just got that email this morning. So working on a replacement there, and also working on some other stars we're bringing in for the show. We're going to be adding stars to this show probably right up to the last minute. You mm-hmm. know, we do that anyway, but we're definitely going to be doing it for this one. So just stay tuned. The best way to find out is checking on Facebook. All the updates are made, you know, as quickly as I can make them, usually within the same day of me being notified of whatever the addition or subtraction is.
Now, we're always out to appease...
Sure.
All right. Now,
and a little extra.
A listener, Stephen Cusick. I'll spell it Kusiak. I don't want to spell it wrong. He had sent a message to me, and he just said, "In previous podcasts, you and Dave re-mentioned the guest list names, but I'd like to hear Dave talk about what made him target each guest on the guest list." There's a two-parter here.
Uh-oh.
Also, I think it would be interesting to hear how far. In advance, Dave starts planning major reunions, and which reunions have been the easiest and the hardest. So, up first is, what made you target each guest on the guest list?
First, Aja Argento. I mean, what's not to, you know, that to me that was a no-brainer. She's hardly done any shows at all in America. The daughter of Dario Argento started mm-hmm. in a number of his films, and also worked with George Romero in Land of the Dead. She's a director in her own right for just popular film. She was in the movie Triple X. So, I mean, to bring her in, it was just when the opportunity came, I had to jump at that. Second person down is Jamie Kennedy. He was a last-minute addition to our show in August in Cherry Hill. Super nice guy. Flew in on a red eye. Went right from the plane to the car to the radio station to do an interview. Came to the hotel, got a few hours sleep, and came down and signed for everybody, and came to the VIP party mm-hmm. on top of it. I mean,
sure did.
You couldn't ask for anything more from a guest.
Can I interrupt for 1 second? I just want to know, when someone, you have a good response from a guest, is there a certain list that they make for you where then you put those people down to where they are brought back more often? Are they the first person you would go to in a situation where now you have another convention coming up and you want a guest like that? You know, I'm sure that you develop, I don't want to say favorites, but I'm sure you develop people or guests, should I say, that have a good rapport with your you know, your consumers, your customers that come in.
I don't shy away from using the word favorites at all. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't have my favorites. I mean, you know, one of them right from the top is Robert Englund. You know, every time I've had him, the most professional star, you know, I've dealt with, he means a lot to me because he did our second show, and really we made the jump from, you know, being a small convention to a major convention just by the addition of his name mm-hmm. at a time when he wasn't doing conventions hardly at all. Lance Henriksen's another one. I've come to Lance, you know, if I've had a guest back out at the last minute and Lance hasn't been to the show in a year or two. Lance is one of the guys. I enjoy seeing them. Like, I try to – Lance is one of the guys I try to have dinner with at some point in the weekend, usually on Thursday, if at all possible, because he's just a great guy. Like, he's – you know, he's a super nice guy, and it's for me, it's always a pleasure to see him. So I definitely do have favorites, and somebody like Jamie Kennedy, you know, would make that list if, you know, if I'm doing a show in Baltimore and he hasn't been there before, and, you know, I have the opportunity to bring him in, you know, I jump at that opportunity, you know. It's he's going to meet fans. He's going to make fans happier. You know, it goes under the Monster Mania name, so Monster Mania is making fans happier, so it's, you know, it's a win for everybody.
Okay, now up next on the from the website is a reunion, so it kind of falls into that. Now you have the Nightmare Girls reunion. As far as names, you have Heather Langenkamp, Lisa Wilcox, Amanda Wiss, and Tuesday Night. Now, is that when you started this? Let's, you know, revert back to that question. Was this a reunion that kind of developed, or was this something that you had in mind?
A little bit of both. I wanted to do a Nightmare reunion. We've done the first film, a reunion of the first film, at least twice. You know, so I wanted to give it a different spin. And I just thought bringing, you know, the, like there's the Ladies of the Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought maybe bringing in, you know, the Nightmare Girls reunion would be something, you know, a little bit different. And, you know, it still give me the chance to bring in Heather. I mean, Heather's a great fan experience to meet her. Lisa Wilcox, going back to the favorites, Lisa Wilcox is definitely one of my favorites. It's always a pleasure to see her. Super nice person, great with the fans. You know, she's, when I see her at a show, it's kind of like seeing an old friend, honestly. Amanda Wiss we've had before, great with the fans. And Tuesday Night, you know, the opportunity to bring Tuesday again to a East Coast show. Her first East Coast show ever was the Monster Mania show she did for us in March. Mm-hmm. So it'll be great to see her again. And actually, what you don't know, next week, more than likely, if times work out right, we'll do a phone interview with her. She wants to...
Good Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, she's got a new album coming out that she's going to promote at the show, debut at the show, and we'll be talking to her about that hopefully next week.
Awesome. I love her. She's fantastic. All right, so now back to Edward Herrmann is next on your list. What made you seek out him for Maryland?
Well, I'm a big Lost Boys fan. Like, I could be wrong, but I'm fairly certain the first Lost Boys reunion at a convention was the one at Monster Mania. You know, other shows have since gone on to do it, but I'm fairly certain the Lost Boys reunion we had the first time was the first one that was ever done. So one of the people we haven't had at the show yet from the film was Edward Herrmann. Mm-hmm. And he just did a show last year at Blood on a Beach in Virginia, which was his first show. And this was only going to be a second show. So unfortunately, Alex Winter had to drop out again. But I thought, well, you know, when a guest from us that's most famous to horror fans from a certain film drops out, if at all possible, I try to make it up to the fans of that film by bringing in someone else from the film. You know, and in this case, to bring in, you know, the head vampire from the film was, you know, a great opportunity. And plus, he was Herman Munster, which I know you enjoy. Yeah, so yeah. I did it for you, Rob.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. Now, next, you know, we can talk about Patricia Tallman. Can I steal a little bit of thunder? And, you know, we had talked off the air and said, you know, I'd said how much of a fan I am of that movie. And maybe I helped put a little seed in that little plant.
No, it was already, wow. That seed was planted.
I was trying. Jeez, I was trying for some credit.
See, here's the hard thing. I mean, and people have criticized me for it when I've almost, I'll throw a teaser out there, mm-hmm. You know. And in a lot of cases, I'll get the okay from the booking agent to advertise the person before I actually get, you know, a faxed copy or an emailed copy of the signed contract. Mm-hmm. So when I'm told that, more than likely I'll put it like a teaser out there saying, you know, like I might put, you know, the Scream face if we're going to have somebody from Scream or whatever. But I'm reluctant to announce it until I've got the contract signed from somebody, because many times I've been told that it's okay to advertise somebody and then to find out they weren't going to make it when it came time to actually sign the contract. Mm-hmm. Same thing like with Patricia Tallman, when you were saying, you know, when you had suggested her, I had already made the overture to have her come to the show, but we were in that area where you know, nothing was signed, but it was looking good, so I couldn't say anything until, you know, it actually went through.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of her. You have Tracy Lords.
Yeah, it's her first time with Monster Mania. She's done a few other shows. She's been one of the most requested people by the fans, so I always try to give the fans what they ask for. Personally, I'm going to probably get her to sign a Blade poster for me. Blade's one of the films that I really, really, really enjoy.
When I mentioned that to my wife, you know, Tracy Lords, she remembers Crybaby. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Crybaby has such a huge cult following that, you know, you're grabbing someone like that from all types of films, whether it's Zack and Miri, whether it's Crybaby, whether it's Blade, whether it's Roseanne.
Yeah.
Which I noticed still is not on that list. All right, let's move on. How about Camille Keaton?
Was she on Roseanne?
No, she wasn't.
Camille's another one. Camille's a person I've gotten a lot of emails requesting. And, you know, the time just seemed right. We had somewhat of a theme going with Women of Horror in the show. I didn't want to go overboard on it and didn't want to go totally that way. Mm-hmm. But I just thought Camille fit in. You know, and again, it's her first Monster Mania.
Now, you also have Gunnar Hansen in Maryland. And I know that he is an obvious fan favorite. What about for you?
Yeah. I mean, Gunnar is, yeah, I mean, he's Leatherface from the original
right.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, that ranks, you know, if you come up with the top 10 horror movies of all time, you know, on most people's list, Texas Chainsaw Massacre is going to be on there. I mean, it's a no-brainer to add him to the show. I mean, it's a horror icon. It's what Monster Mania is really all about.
I agree with that. Plus, I've heard nothing but positives from fan experiences. You know, we talked about The Walking Dead, and you kind of explained that, you know, you're always anxious to bring them in because of the popularity. Let's also talk about Sam Jones.
Yeah, we had Sam Jones at our show last year in Cherry Hill. Both of my sons and myself are big fans of the Flash Gordon film, and he was great with the fans when we had a Flash Gordon Buck Rogers reunion thing going on last year in New Jersey. And then with the recent role that he played, kind of reprising Flash Gordon and playing himself in Ted, my son saw it before, my youngest son saw it before I did, and he said, "Dad, you got to get Sam Jones again." So then I went to see the movie, and I was like, you know, without a doubt, anybody that has seen Ted and is a fan of it is going to want Sam Jones' autograph just for that, let alone, you know, his role as Flash Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Now, also, he was a relatively recent addition. You have Jeremy London.
Yeah, it's our first time with him. I think he's done a couple shows before, but it's our first time with Jeremy at Monster Mania, and, you know, what better place to bring him to than bring him down to Hunt Valley.
Yeah, I agree. And then you have me in the bottom corner.
Yeah, right? Yeah, no, we're trying to get rid of that.
So, as always, you know, don't hesitate to send Dave or myself a question that we can possibly answer on the podcast. Because we do, you know, there's a lot of times when we're always thinking about what we can talk about. So, remember, you can tweet us at Monster Mania Con at Rob Dimension. You can contact us via Facebook. You know, don't forget, every Friday, Monster Mania Radio is up online. You can check out MonsterManiaRadio.net, and like Dave said earlier, don't forget, check out the Facebook for constant additions as we get closer. You can listen to us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Stitcher Radio is the best if you have a smartphone. You can download the smartphone app, which is called Stitcher Radio. It's free. It's simple. And then you can just search Monster-Mania Radio. It comes right up, the same with iTunes. And as always, if you can, rate and review the show. We appreciate it. Hey, don't go anywhere.
Also, it's available at MonsterManiaRadio.net.
It is, if you just want to listen.
If you want to just listen to it straight from the computer.
Don't go anywhere, and we'll be right back with more Monster Mania Radio.
Popular guy. If you don't know yet, you're gonna find out why.
Okay, guys, we are back for Monster Mania Radio, and Dave, it is time
to announce me as executive producer for No Clowning Around.
I'll give you a thanks.
Wow, gee.
How's that?
Okay, sure.
Is that cool?
I remember the prints I told you you discounted.
It's time for some horror news.
Yeah.
All right, so up first, you have...
You're actually letting me say something?
Yeah,
oh,
dude,
my goodness.
If you people only knew, he has verbally assaulted me the entire time today.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. You're telling me I have news.
I have news. I have Guillermo del Toro Pacific Rim news.
Oh, okay.
And the news is, because I know you're a big, how do you say it?
Kaju
fan.
Mm-hmm.
They've just announced that it's going to be made, the film's going to come out in 3D, which we would think would make me ecstatically happy.
You are a 3D fanatic.
Yes.
So, is it safe to say that we'll be going together?
No. Well, I don't know if we're going to go together. Will I see it and will you see it? Yes, I probably will see it in a theater.
But so, it's being shot in 3D?
No, that's what is so disappointing to me. It's in post. And to me, I mean, I like my 3D movies. One of the greatest 3D movies in my mind is Friday the 13th 3D. Because it was shot 3D. You know, there's scenes with...
The original Part 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
With the pole and the pitchfork. And then when they kind of revitalized 3D horror films again with... My Bloody Valentine,
mm-hmm.
They did the same thing. I mean, there were some shots there where he raises the barrel, the rifle, and it actually looks like it's coming out
and
at
the,
you.
What's he throwing, axe or something?
Yeah, there was a lot of scenes in that movie that were shot to emphasize what they could do with 3D, and I was blown away by it. But what gives 3D movies a really bad name when people come out and say, oh, it wasn't worth paying the extra money for that, is when they added it on in post. You know, apparently they've done that with Finding Nemo. That's coming out in 3D.
I did see that, yeah.
And now they're going to do it with Pacific Rim. Like, either shoot it with the intention of it being in 3D, or don't do it at all.
All right, let me ask you a question. Your personal opinion, is that from a... Is the reason they're doing that specifically to make more money?
Absolutely.
So it's just that.
It's just like one of the readers or one of the people on Twitter had announced. He pointed out to me that Battleship was not did not come out in the theaters in 3D. Originally, I had read that it was going to, and then they decided when they were going to film it to not put it in 3D. And he said they regretted it, and you know, because there was lost revenue there, and that they were going that in for it made help them. Make a decision to, I believe it was Judge Dredd or one of the other films.
Judge Dredd coming out, I think, this weekend.
That they were going to do that in 3D because of the money that they didn't, you know, that they didn't get by releasing Battleship in 3D. So, to me, that's a merchandise, it's a marketing ploy, you know, to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
And I really look, if I'm going to go see a 3D movie, I check into it to see whether it was shot in 3D or whether it was done in post. And once it's done in post, it's just... You know.
All right, so let me just... You brought up Judge Dredd, the remake. Is that a yes or a no for you to go see?
Probably a yes, but for personal reasons. My oldest son's a big Judge Dredd fan, the comic.
Mm-hmm.
I never read it, to be honest. I glanced at a couple issues that he had. I knew he collected it. I never really did. When the first movie came out, I thought it was like so-so. But I mean, I'll probably see it just to try to figure out what attracted him to it. You know?
I mean, it's weird because
it's 3D, so.
I get a lot of the last couple of days I've gotten a lot of tweets asking me to tell people that it's not going to suck. I mean, I don't have any.
Dude, how do you know that?
I have no idea. Like, I don't know. To be totally honest with you, they released a teaser trailer not too long ago, and then I've seen the trailer in the last few weeks or whatever. It looks good, but I mean, I'm not a huge Judge Dredd fan. I can remember watching the Sylvester Stallone one. It was Sylvester Stallone in...
I forget. It was forgettable.
It was. It wasn't great. So, you know, I mean, if you're a fan of the comic, I'll tell people the same thing. If you're tired of remakes, don't go. If you're curious, go. If you're a fan, go. I mean, it's up to you. You know, you can't have it one way, you know, where you say, like, I hate remakes, and then go and support it. If you hate remakes, then don't go.
Well, I can see, I mean, a couple shows ago, we had talked about, like, a moratorium where it had to be 20 years. But I'll throw one curveball or one excuse clause into that, that if they're remaking a movie that had flaws, obvious flaws.
That movie had flaws.
Or didn't live up to expectations. I mean, I can see redoing a Judge Dredd movie because apparently there was something to the series that a lot of fans liked. My oldest son liked it. You know, there had to be something to it, and I'm sure whatever it was that they liked was not in the Sylvester Stallone movie. So, I mean, maybe that's a case where a remake will be better than the original.
Okay. Up next is the other day, it piqued my interest. John Carpenter's Halloween is going to be back in theaters this October. And it's going to actually get a fairly wide re-release. They're saying this will be the biggest run the film has had since shocking audiences in 1978. So let me ask you a question. I'm a huge Halloween fan.
He still shoots him six times.
I know. Is this good or bad for the horror genre?
I think it's great. This harkens back to when I was a kid, you know, back in the Stone Age. When they would re-release movies. It's, you know, again, like we said last episode, I think Frankenstein did more in its, I think it was a 1945 mm-hmm. re-release when they teamed it up with Dracula. And it saved Universal Films. It saved the company. I think it did more in 45 or whatever year exactly it was than it did in 31. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great to see a great film, you know, in a theater. I wish they could find a theater to show it on the 40-foot screen instead of the, you know, the multiplex 23-screen theaters. You know, but I'm all for it. I saw that in the movies in downtown Philadelphia when it came out, and I'll definitely go see it again in the theater.
As we're talking, I'm sitting here thinking about last week after we got done, we went and got some food. And I brought up a scenario to you that I talked about on the other podcast that I do about if you were stuck on an island, what TV show would you want to watch if you could only watch one? And we asked the lady that was serving food, and she said Maury was her choice. Mm. You know, I had said Seinfeld, and you had said probably about the same.
Either Seinfeld or Twilight Zone.
Right. So this reverts back to then you brought it up and you totally threw me a curveball. And we sat there and debated.
Good at that.
You are.
I'm good. I can throw a sinker ball too.
You said if you were ahead 20 years and you had to look back in the past from the 50s forward. I believe it was the 50s or maybe it was the 60s forward.
Okay.
And you said if there's one movie that signifies what this genre is about, what would you feel confident in showing? And I sat and I thought for a minute and I said, you know what? It'd be Halloween. And you said, explain why. And I said, the soundtrack. Without the soundtrack made this movie what it is. The use of camera work, the use of shadows. It's a very simplistic film, but it works on so many levels because of the way that it was done.
Donald Pleasance.
Totally. Like a professional actor. I'm telling you, like, if there is a perfect horror movie for myself, it is that. So let me turn the question to you and say the same thing. From the 60s forward to 2012, or I guess if it's 20 years later, to 2032, even though we haven't seen what they're coming out with, what is the movie that signifies this genre the best?
From what time period?
From like the 60s or 70s up. If there's something before that, you tell me.
I really don't know. I mean, I would... When you said Halloween, if you remember, I said, yeah, I would probably choose that one, too. I mean, to me, that has everything in it. It's got the monster. It's got the... I mean, to me, that is sort of a variation of Dracula. I mean, the best thing about Dracula was you had the vampire and you had Van Helsing, who was the protagonist, and, mm-hmm. and they're locked in, you know, in a immortal battle, and that's what Halloween had. Halloween had Michael Myers, and the only one that knew what people were dealing with was Dr. Loomis, mm-hmm. who was, you know, portrayed
flawlessly
by Donald Pleasance, who is a Hammer actor. I would probably agree with you and actually pick Halloween. I mean, if I had to pick one film of the modern era, it would be that.
Okay. And also, this re-release is going to contain a mini documentary called You Can't Kill the Boogeyman, 35 Years of Halloween, which will be shown before it. So, you know what? I've never had the opportunity to see this on the big screen, and I cannot wait. It's going to be a good one. Also, I wanted to touch base and talk to you about World War Z. World War Z is a film that's based on the Max Brooks book called World War Z, and it's a zombie-type apocalypse story. And of all people, they bring in Brad Pitt to star. And I'm not sure if that's a good call or a bad call. And the reason I bring this up is they had had some problems with budgeting. They had some problems with the film itself. And now the film has entered its 7-week-long reshooting stage.
Well, that's bad news right there.
And we talked about that off the air. You had made the comment, which is perfect, that a majority of the movies don't shoot 7 weeks.
Right. I mean, for a 7-week reshoot period, there's not principal photography and principal shooting that goes on for 7 weeks in a film. So, to me, there's two things that you always look for as red flags that a movie's not going to be what you hope that it's going to be. The one is when it goes through multiple rewrites. If you hear, you know, that it's in, I mean, there are films that go through 7 to 10 rewrites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's bad news. When you've got reshoots that are taking 7 weeks, I could make a film in half that time. So, I mean, to me, if there's 7 weeks worth of reshoots, there's some serious issues with what they've shot.
I would think so. I told you that, I read the book a couple of years ago, and I mean, I like it, but it's more like a retelling of what happened, and it jumps around the time frame. Now, this is supposed to be, you know, his character jumping basically around the world and trying to prevent this zombie outbreak that's going to happen. And I don't know how well it's going to, transfer to film. So, I don't know. You know, I'm very skeptical about it. Moving on. The Collection is the sequel to The Collector. Now, it's going to open in theaters November 30th, 2012, which is going to be this year, and what they're calling the real Black Friday. You've seen The Collector.
Yeah.
And your thoughts?
I barely remember it.
Barely remember it.
I mean, honestly, the only scene I particularly remember is, I think it was the, might have even been in the trailer or whatever, where he's got the mask on and he's tying it from behind or whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. I thought the costume looked good. To me, the movie was forgettable. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't really stand out in any way.
All right, so let me ask you this question. The reason I bring this up is I want to ask you a question. Now, you've seen all stuff come and go. Is Hollywood in a position right now where they're dying for a franchise?
I think the fans are dying for a franchise. I don't know if Hollywood would know a franchise if it fell and hit them on the head. You know, they keep trying to reboot. Now they're talking about rebooting reboots. You know, they're considering doing a reboot of Halloween, or they don't know whether they're going to make it Halloween 3.
Mm-hmm. In 3D.
Yeah, supposedly in 3D, continuing the mess that the Rob Zombie Halloween 2 was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know where you would. I mean, if they handed me the pen and paper
and said,
"Here, I want you to write the script for this," mm-hmm. I wouldn't know where to go. You know, or they're talking about rebooting it again. I mean,
I had actually heard they're trying to reboot the Amazing Spider-Man again already, and they just released it.
Wow. I'm not a big fan of that, you know, as we've talked about before. I do think for horror films, I do think a new franchise is needed. What always happens in horror films, and it happens time and time again, and there'll be one different horror film that will come out, and it will spawn, come out of, you know, the blue, from people that you wouldn't have expected it to come from or had never heard of before, and it will be so different and it'll be so good, and then it will spawn, you know, a whole series of
Paranormal Activity.
Well, I don't know if that was good, but
no, I'm not saying that it was, but I'm saying that, you know, what happened was, look at what it spawns now. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it was by people that we really didn't know. Then they put those people in charge.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying, but I'm talking about a complete... I mean, to me, Paranormal Activity is really just another version of Blair Witch, like with the shaky camera. I'm talking about somebody's going to come along, and somebody's going to do The Exorcist, or somebody's going to do... I'm trying to think of what films... Saw. You know, like, Saw came out of nowhere, the first one. And, you know, it started a whole franchise of, you know, movies that, in my mind... probably got worse as each one, you know, as it went further and further down in the prequel line, the sequel line. But there's going to be a film that's going to come out of the blue, and look how many copycats Saw spawned. You know what I mean? Like, torture porn became, you know, a genre of horror filmmaking for a period of time, as the shaky cam has become. You know, and when The Exorcist came out, there were so many, you know, rip-offs of Exorcist-type movies. One had Tellys of Alice in it, from what I remember.
Yeah.
I mean, there'll be a film that comes out, and, you know, out of nowhere that, you know, is not going to be a zombie film, and it's not going to be, you know, a torture porn film. It's going to be some other variation of a horror film, and it's going to take the world by storm, and I don't know what it's going to be or who's going to, you know, who's going to be in it or anything, but... that's what will happen. And then for the next 5 years at least, Hollywood will then try to duplicate that film as much as they can and get as much money out of it as they can. But, you know, hopefully that movie's coming out soon, because I'm not... you know, when I see the list of films coming out, when I see trailers for films and stuff, like, I just don't see anything that really piques my interest. Like, I don't see the, wow, I got to go see that movie. You know, I hope that there's one coming out soon that becomes that. But I haven't seen that movie in a few years now.
Do you think the problem is the philosophy of everything old is new again? Do you think that's that's what Hollywood thinks, and that's why we've seen such a resurgence of the same old, same old?
I think, and I don't know, you know, for sure. I'm not involved in the decision making and stuff, but from what I've been told, the real problem lies within that you can't. Before, you would go to the Warner Brothers, and you would go to the Warner Brothers,
right?
And you would pitch a film, and you'd get the yay or nay. Now, when you go to Warner Brothers, you probably wind up in a room with, you know, 15 people with suits on, and, you know, and one of them is a product placement person. You know, each person's got their own, you know, angle or their own input into a movie that's going to be made or be considered to be made, that it takes the creativity out of it. Yeah, I forget what it was. I forget who it was. Who wrote, and maybe it was Kevin Smith, who wrote...
He wrote the
Superman?
Or he was involved originally in rewriting Superman.
Right, and he said that John
Peters... And then he
Peters,
wrote Green...
No, it was Superman. Okay. He had made a pitch for a Superman movie, and he had made a pitch to John Peters, who at the time was in charge of, I guess, you know, saying yay or nay on it. And he said, Peters said, oh, well, yeah, that sounds all good, but I want you to put a giant spider, and he named, like, all these different things
into it. That's
exactly
what it was.
And... Kevin Smith said, no, I can't do that. And he walked out, and they didn't go forward with it. And Kevin Smith said, did you ever see the movie
Wild Wild West?
Wild Wild West.
Yep.
And it had all those things in it.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's the problem with Hollywood. You know, Hollywood doesn't let artists be artists. They don't let writers be writers. They don't let cinematographers be cinematographers. They want to shape and mold the creative end of it, and the people that are doing that are not creative or mm-hmm. not creative enough. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my. If you were to say to me, "What's wrong with Hollywood?" That's what I would guess. Mm-hmm. That's from what I've been told.
You know, I agree. Hey, don't go anywhere. We will be right back with more Monster Mania Radio.
Don't be scared. I'm the super sweet monster with the super sweet new cereal, Count Chocula.
Biffle, here's the super sweet new cereal, Frankenberry.
But I've got chocolate sweeties for monstrous chocolate flavor.
Well, I've got berry-flavored sweeties for monster strawberry flavor.
Count Chocula.
Frankenberry.
Hi.
Frankenberry.
Count Chocula.
What will terrify you most at the Haunted Mansion in Long Branch, New Jersey? The Haunted Mansion, home of more than 30 creatures of the night. Frightening, monstrous, blood-chilling creatures of every description. Which one will make you scream in terror? Find out at the Haunted Mansion in Long Branch.
Welcome back to Monster Mania Radio. I'm sitting here with Rob Dimension, the man, the myth, the...
And a little extra.
And a little extra. The writer, producer, executive producer of a film coming out called No Clowning Around. And Rob came to me today with some questions. He came to me for advice, believe it or not. That's a scary thought. And I probably completely ruined every... First of all, I shot down the... poster image you showed me, or
I brought you a poster that I had done by Brian Mitchell, who does great work. If you go to our website, there's a little link right there.
And Brian does the videos for Monster Mania too.
Awesome stuff.
Super stuff.
So this is going to revert back to, and I'm trying to educate people that might be filmmakers on any level. I'm sure John Carpenter's not going to come to you for advice, but you never know. All right. So I had some poster images done. The look that I'm going for is to look very vintage. I don't want to say grindhouse because I think everyone says that.
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction-ish maybe on the poster image itself. That's to, I guess, you know, make you understand that the film itself, there's not really much happiness in the film, that it's, you know, it's not, it's, it has like a dirty image to it. I was just trying to bring that forward. So,
it actually reminds me of a poster from the 70s that you would see for a movie that you would see in a drive-in.
Okay, I appreciate that. And I wanted to bring it to you, and I wanted to show you what was on it. I wanted to show you the image. I wanted to show you... there was creases in the poster itself to make it look like it was folded, like from the 60s, 70s, you know, that you would see. Especially you brought up Hammer Films, their movie posters. A lot of them are folded that way. And I brought it to you, and you sat and you looked at it, and for a little bit you didn't say much. And then, you took it all in, and then you said, "All right, let me break it down." And you said, "You know, I want you to change the wording a little bit, and I want you to change the appearance of the actual poster itself." And I think it's good because I explained to you that it's difficult to do everything. You know, on an independent level, it's difficult to do everything. And you said, what you said to me was exactly what you said last week, that that's typical. But a lot of times these guys go through and they make these films, and the first thing they cut is advertising. And I said to you, like, oh, I said, I'm only going to get like 50 posters done. And then you said, oh, no, you should get 100 because, you know, you want to help promote the movie. And I said, yeah, you're right. And then I discussed to you about the cost. And you said, look, you know, this is how you should really handle it. So I'll turn the conversation over to you and you can kind of enlighten people more.
Well, first of all, one of the things I had said was, if you're going to do a project, any project, horror related or not, and this is the approach I took from the first Monster Mania on through, the first thing is you have to believe in yourself. And that, it's like being, I compare so many different things to football. I mean, it's like being the quarterback in a football game. Like, you know, when the pressure's on, you have to want the ball in your hand, and you have to be willing to throw the ball down the field and either be the hero if the play is great and the guy makes the catch and wins the game, or be willing to be the goat if the guy doesn't make the catch or you throw an interception. But you have to have the faith in yourself that you're going to do that. And when you had said you were only going to get 50 posters made, the first thing I said was, why 50? Like, you don't want to, in anything, you don't want to limit your potential. You know, and you really, I mean, you have to, it's got to be a mindset for yourself, for anybody in a business, that you're going to be the best at this that you can be. In this case, I said, get 100 made. And you were like, well, you know, and you had brought up the funds. And I had said, you know, going back to the episode we said last week, that one of the first thing that gets cut in a movie, you had mentioned a movie that was the lowest viewed movie, you know, in theaters ever.
Ogilvy's or something like that.
Yeah.
I saw a couple weeks ago.
Said, well, I didn't hear any advertising for it, you know, and that's the first thing that people cut. And, why put all this effort into things? And I've read your tweets, and I know you. I mean, believe me, I know what it's like to have sleepless nights, you know, worrying or being anxious about a project that you're doing. Because it's ultimately, it's you. You know what I mean? Like, this no clowning around is you. I mean, there's other people in it. There's directors. There's, you know, makeup girls and costume people. And, you know, your wife's in it. Steve's in it. You know, I get all that. But when you go to bed and when you lay down and go to sleep, it's you. And that's what's in your head. You know what I mean? And that's what, you know, when I have, starting about 3 weeks before a show. Exactly. I mean, no one knows. At least if you take it as seriously as I do, and I know you do, because I could see when you walked in today, I said, "Wow, you know, what's up?" You know, I could see the stress you're under. Mm-hmm. You know, and it is stressful. Anybody that cares about what they do is stressful. You know, so I was just trying to offer some advice, you know, with the thing.
It's great advice, but it's extremely stressful. You know, when you care about something, you know, and there's a lot riding on it. You know, I explain that, you know, the little bit of reputation that I have, I'm serious, you know, from reviewing movies, from doing some TV stuff, from doing a couple movie stuff, from even hosting the Q&As, it's important for me to make everyone happy. And I know that it's hard to.
I can tell you that's not going to happen.
I know.
And the sad part of it is, like, you know, you've been at Monster Mania. I will hear all weekend, and I cannot begin to express how much it means to me when people come up to me and say, great show, and shake my hand. I mean, that, like I said before, that's the energy. I am so exhausted by the time the show starts from all the pre-show stuff, mm-hmm. you know, that, I mean, I'm running on the energy that I'm feeding off of from people from the whole weekend coming up to say, you know, great show, you know, thanks. But then you'll go home and you'll check Facebook or you'll check, you know, websites or whatever. And, you know, some people will complain about the
smallest thing.
Yeah, the smallest thing. And even say things that aren't true, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And it's like, man, you know, like, to put so much work into things and people are, some people, And it's a few, but they seem to be the ones with the loudest voice at times. Some people are just so eager to put down what someone else does, you know. And you're gonna, you know, I hate to say it, you know, you're gonna run into that with this film.
Yeah. I know.
But you got to realize that A, you know, you're doing something that, you know, a lot of people would like to do, but few really do, you know. And just, you know, be protective of yourself and let it, you know, let most of it roll off your back. Like, take constructive criticism for what it is. I mean, I'm asking for constructive criticism about the shows. When you came to me, that's why I said to you, when you showed me the poster, I said, do you want me to tell you what I think, you know, or, you know, you want me to say, okay.
And I told you, like, I want you to be honest. You
right.
know, and I'm not someone that's going to, you know, jump around and ask for a bunch of people's advice, but to be totally honest, I value your opinion because of what, you know, you have something that's huge. You know, you have this huge...
Don't tell everybody.
You have this huge show that...
Oh, the show.
Yeah, that's revered by so many people. You know, you have, I don't know, 30,000 people that walk through your doors on a weekend in Cherry Hill. That's huge to me. You know, I mean, so for you to take 5 minutes, I appreciate it. You know, where you're just like... And you said, like, this should be the show. You know, I want to... Can you mind? And I was like, I don't care. Like, I'm hoping, like... You know, my whole aspect with doing any podcast is to be heard and hopefully have a message for someone else. So maybe there's someone that's listening today that wants to be a filmmaker and they're looking for advice. And trust me, let me tell you this. It is the hardest thing to get started. You get people that say, hey, man, if you need anything, let me know. All right, cool. Then I let you know and you're not there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's like it never stops. So for me, like, you know, I have to then set up, you know, and I contacted a buddy of mine, Matt, who is co-directing. And I said, hey, let's, you know, co-direct this. And I said, I wrote it. Let's do this. Let's do that. And it starts to pan out. And then all of a sudden, the nerves really hit where you're like, holy crap, I'm really doing this. And then, you know, little by little, things are coming up. Like, people don't think about, like, all right, well, I need a good poster design. And people are so easy to just, oh, I'll do this. And then, you know, we need T-shirts. Oh, we need DVD. Oh, we need this. We need that. You know, and people don't realize that the littlest things need to be taken care of, like who's going to get the pizza, who's going to bring paper plates for everyone to eat, who's going to take care mm-hmm. of just the littlest
and
things.
Dude, I mean, and that's a movie that you're doing with three actors, you know, yourself
it is.
Included.
I can't even imagine doing a larger
imagine
project.
A show with, you know, 40 people.
No,
you know?
Like you too. I don't even know.
You've seen me. We'll be doing a podcast, and I'll get an email that's you'll just hear me go, ah, you know, it's... You know, the smallest things can go wrong, or people can start, you know, wanting one thing or demanding another, and it's just, oh my God, you know, like, you would think that, I mean, for me, we're 24 shows into it, actually, and the show we just had with the whole Clive Barker experience, you know, with him canceling and trying to, you know, do the best we could for everybody, mm-hmm. I mean, man, you know, like, you think it would run, things would run smoothly, and we'd be on autopilot now, but autopilot never happens. Mm-mm. If it does, then you're doing something wrong, probably.
Yeah.
You know, then you're not caring. You're not putting an effort into it. You know, if, like you said, you know, as far as people listening to the podcast and getting something from it, the best advice I tell my kids, I tell anybody that will listen, the best advice that I can give anybody on anything is believe in yourself first. And if you make decisions in anything with the believing in yourself as the basis for it, you know, you'll get the 100 posters instead of the 50. You'll get Robert Englund at your second Monster Mania show, you know, and make a name for yourself. I mean, whatever it may be, you know, whether it's writing a book or whether it's digging a ditch, you know, whatever it is, you have to be willing to throw the interception, you know, and take that chance. You know, you have to be willing to risk it, you know, mm-hmm. but the reward is, you know, is if everything goes right, is priceless. And if it goes wrong and it doesn't work out, it's an experience. At least you can say you tried, you know. I'd rather be on the field throwing an interception than in the stands watching, mm-hmm. you know.
No, I mean, I appreciate your advice, you know, and I don't look to a lot of people for advice because, as I explained, it's very lonely. It's difficult to...
Wait till things start going wrong. Dude, then you're on an island, you know, and everyone, You know, it's not really that way, but it feels like everyone is just, you know, going out of their way to, you know, to point out how wrong things can be, you know. Mm-hmm. But in essence, it's such a small percentage of people that will actually do that.
Yeah.
You know, most people, if you're honest, you know, and genuine with people, that comes across. And most people are rooting for you to pull through.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But, you know, listen to constructive criticism. Ignore the haters. They're just...
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. So let's switch some gears here. Let's talk about Monster Mania Con 23. You know what? Let's go back to the question, the first segment. We have a couple minutes here. What was the best, easiest reunion to get and the hardest?
I would say the hardest was probably the one that stands out in my mind, and I could be wrong. The hardest was probably the first Hellraiser one, because that was in the days that there were very few agents, and you really, if you were the promoter, you really had to work and get people on your own. And I did that. I mean, it's funny now, like I go around a lot of the agents, you know, pages, and it's like, well, I introduced that one to conventions and that one and that one and that one and that one. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, back in the early days of Monster Mania that, you know, Heather Langenkamp, for one, you know, I spent hours on the phone trying to convince her to come to a convention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's, so I would say probably the hardest one, only because of the time, and it was people in another country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hardest one to put together, and one of the most rewarding was the Hellraiser one the first time. Easiest, I guess for the most part, the easiest would have been the Return of the Living Dead one, because that was pretty much a package that was offered to me.
That was in Maryland a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much a package that was offered to me by a talent agent. So it was basically me saying yes and, you know, picking and choosing, you know, which of the stars from it that I wanted. So that was the easiest, because
mm-hmm.
There was little contact work on my part. But
so let me ask you one question, and you can be as vague as you want. So March, we return back to Cherry Hill, and it's your anniversary.
Mm.
What are we already in the works for March?
As far as
guests, as far as events,
there's a lot of stuff in the works for March already, but mm-hmm. well into the works. You know, it's particularly with it being the 10th anniversary, I've got some ideas that, you know, after we have this Baltimore show, I'm going to run by the kids, because it's me and my two sons that, you know, are basically Monster Mania. I do the guest list. My one son takes care of vendors, and my other son takes care of tickets and stuff. But collectively, you know, we get together, and particularly after a show, and we have like a post-con meeting, just the three of us, and go over things. So there's some things I want to do for the 10th anniversary that encompass things that we've done in the past and go in some new directions. But yeah, I mean, it's well underway.
Awesome. I tell you what, I can't wait. I'm very excited for 2 or 3 weeks away, and I'm also excited for March, because I think you got some good stuff up your sleeve.
Usually, what I try to do, from a personal standpoint, and now that you're doing the film, you know, I'm sure you can understand. I try to take a month off after a show and just decompress. Well, you're still paying bills and stuff after the show. Sometimes 3 weeks later, you know, you're still, you know, doing different things. But like once that's over, I try to give myself like just 1 month of experience in life again, because mm-hmm. I mean, like I said before, I work a full-time job. It's in retail. There's times when I work 9 days in a row, and then my 2 days off, like I just had these last 2 days off, I have done nothing but show stuff for the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't seen my grandkids, I haven't watched a movie,
I haven't heard from you. I usually hear from you on your days off, and I think you texted me last night with, hey, you good for after 5 o'clock? and that was it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we didn't have much prep or anything, because I know that you're real hectic, so... Well, what can you do?
Yeah, so I try to give myself a month, and fortunately, after the September show, the month that I'll be giving myself is October, which is probably my favorite month of the year. So I'm really going to get a chance to enjoy Halloween. I had kicked around the idea of a Halloween party, much like we did before, but I think I just want to experience Halloween and not worrying about, you know, who missed a flight and how many people are coming in the door and all that kind of stuff, and just really... you know, enjoy it for what it is. We're talking about going to London to help out. I say that, and at the same time, we're talking about going to London to help out the Ingrid Pitt festival that they're having in Hastings. So,
and you'll end up working.
Yeah.
So much for decompression. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us there today, Dave.
Jeez, Rob. You're leaving me already?
Yeah. Hey, in closing, don't forget, down in Baltimore, you can check out the Drive-In Horror Show. That is,
you know, it never gets old.
An anthology horror movie that you'll be showing throughout the weekend. And, you know, you can stop and pick up the DVD. They'll have a table there, I would assume.
Yes, definitely.
And I look forward to that. And also, let me just take a look here and let people know again that Monster Mania Con is September 28th. Through the 30th, it's in Hunt Valley, Maryland. You have Aja Argento, you have Jamie Kennedy as your VIPs. Are the VIP tickets still left?
Yes.
All right. And then on top of it, if you're a vendor and you're looking to get in last minute, let us know. Let you know, I should say. I mean, I'll just take anybody.
Thanks, Rob.
Hey, man, you know what? I got to get funding from somewhere. And, you know... If, in essence, you know, if you're looking for a fun weekend event, Monster Mania is a great place. Plus, it kind of rolls right into October, which is the best month of the year. I agree with you on that with Halloween. You can always follow us on Twitter at MonsterManiaCon at Rob Dimension. You can visit MonsterMania.net. You can visit MonsterManiaRadio.net for up-to-the-minute information. Plus, you, like I said, you can catch us every Friday. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher Radio. In closing... Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
I just want to remind everyone to check us out at Monster Mania Convention on Facebook. Constantly, we'll be announcing, you know, whatever the latest news is, whether it's additions, subtractions, or whatever to the show. Hopefully, we'll have some additions to announce very, very shortly. So that's the best place to find out.
Don't forget, if you have questions, send them to us. Otherwise, we'll talk to you guys next week.